people played with Barbie or kind of grew up with it and feeling almost validated by this marketing, seeing how it reaches people, or like even just like, oh, I remember seeing this so much. I've never played with it, but now it's becoming relevant to my interests as I'm getting older.
Yeah.
So it's nostalgia is not just about reaching that certain generation, but almost that sharing it across everyone you know, and that could reach old to young.
Welcome to Making the Brand, the podcast where marketing and pop culture collide. I'm your host, Brianne Fleming. I can't wait to chat about brands, boy bands, and everything in between. Because brands who have a pulse on pop culture can create adoring fans of their own. Welcome back to the Making the Brand podcast. Today's episode is going to be super topical because it's Barbie mania these days. She's everywhere. And I am joined by Moshe Isaac Ian. He is a brand strategist who has worked on brands like Snapchat, Nike, Amazon, Hewlett Packard, the list goes on and on. But lately, he has become quite an authority on all things Barbie. So, Moshe, we're going to get into it, but welcome to the show.
Thank you for having me.
Yeah. So, did you ever think you would get caught up in this Barbie conversation? It all started with this viral thread, this Twitter thread that you put together, recapping all of these activations. And I've got to say, you were really the first one. I mean, we all kind of saw Barbie like being talked about, but like you were the first one that was like, wait, they are everywhere. Like, we need to recap all of this. So tell us what's been going on and how this has all just been for you.
It's been absolutely overwhelming, amazing. Like the first few days that the thread kind of took off, like, it was just notifications every single second. Trying to keep up has been amazing. I never expected it to go as crazy viral as it did. And I'm super like humbled and honored that people found it helpful, interesting enough to share.
Yeah. And it's still going. I know you've still been adding to it. I think as recently as today, I saw that Google now has a Barbie, like Google Doodle. If you Google Barbie, it's all pink and animated and stuff. So you've been busy just continually adding to that.
So. Yeah, it's like it started as a thread. I thought it was going to be like, I said, even it's going to be like a small thread of cool visual stuff, and ended up being 40 tweets long and counting. It's amazing.
Yeah, it's got 26,000 retweets right now, 133,000 likes. And I imagine, I mean, you're just one person trying to research all these Barbie activations and mentions. Have you had other people responding to the thread and coming back to you and being like, wait, Moshe, did you see this one or now this one? Like, I'm sure.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, like, even to this day, just people kind of like pinging me. Apparently, I'm the authority of like Barbie marketing. They want to, you know, get featured in there. Like, and there's like some things I've even missed or, you know, just didn't want to like overwhelm people, but I still kind of feel the obligation to, you know, update. But yeah, a lot of help came from the community.
That's so fun though, to like have other people contribute. You've really just become the Barbie guy. Did you catch, I saw last week, they even did a Barbie activation on The Bachelorette, like just big national stages. It's really everywhere.
Yeah. I think I might've caught that for a little bit. Yeah. Even just the way they've been going to TV has been super interesting too.
Yeah. Lots of traditional media. I've got to say, though, the first time I really saw the Mattel team do something surrounding Barbie and kick off these 100-plus activations, for me, it was the social media meme generator. Was that kind of where it all began, you think?
Yeah, 100%. I think that's where it really kind of started to shine. And then there was like, I think the peak was when they announced two big things in the same day. Like, it was the Xbox theme Barbie work and the Airbnb one that was kind of like teased and then officially released later that day.
So cool. What I think was brilliant about that, kicking off with the meme, is that it got everyone involved first. Like, they did the user generated aspect of it in the beginning to get us all participating and then listening for future Barbie activations like the Airbnb and Xbox, as you mentioned. I'm curious, though, going back to your thread, what other opportunities has that sparked for you since you've gone mega viral? I'm honored to have you on the podcast, but I know you've done some really big, big media yourself.
No, don't. If anything, I mean, long time listener, and you know, been following you for a long time. So it's honestly an honor to be here. Yeah, I mean, it's been kind of interesting. Like a lot of publications kind of reached out to get a quote, my thoughts on it, and like, you know, as you mentioned, kind of like be the Barbie guy, and I'm like, you know, I'm like, hey, I work in advertising. This is really cool. But yeah, like it started out with like this Canadian TV show called Trending TV that reached out. So I was like, that was cool. And then next thing you know, like Fast Company, BBC reached out, like even just as yesterday, kind of talked to Associated Press, which was interesting. They're doing like a retail angle on all of this. And like just the fact that, all the copycats that just kind of came through in the first few days, like there was TikToks that took the verbiage, like this guy who's like, you know, 10 times my size who went forward. That's just, you know, like it's still like huge for me to even see that. Like I never thought it would be that big.
Yeah. And I know that hurts. I think it's sometimes hard for people to understand, like, oh, someone copied my tweet. Like, no, it means more than that to us, I think, especially since you put so much research into this. And the way it has opened doors for you and put yourself out there, you deserve that recognition for it. And the fact that people are just lifting and copying and pasting. I've seen it happen. I've seen your exact tweet reshared and it's just, it makes me so upset, but I know you are the original, which is why I'm chatting with you. So thank you.
And honestly, like a lot of people have come to, you know, kind of back me up, especially like there was like a Spanish influencer who kind of went for it, and people were like, you know, linked to the original thread. I'm, again, like for me, I've always take things in stride, and I'm not trying to police anything. Like,
yeah,
everyone's kind of shared stuff before, but you know, still happy that it found use and the reach that it has.
For sure, for sure. Well, you've got some eagle eyes out there who are ready to come to your defense when we see it. We will chime in and be like, hey, this is Moshe's. Like, please fix this. So you mentioned the copycats. Before we really get into Barbie, I just want to talk about going viral for a second, because there are a few people who have experienced it. I've never really gone mega viral. So just now that you have that perspective, and maybe you've gone viral before this, but as someone who's gone through it, what should we know about going viral? What are the pros and cons of this? Is it all it's cracked up to be?
That is a very good question. Well, definitely expect your phone to blow up and you know, like not be usable for the longest time. It did. I mean, back in the day, like people would say, oh, it slowed down. For me, it was just like the influx of kind of people coming in.
Yeah.
Just like some stats is like, I like getting over like 15 million impressions was insane. I think overall I got like 2,000 plus followers from all of it. But the other thing you'd expect is, I think like the way I thought about it is like the first 3 days was like really the quote retweets, the shares. And then like past the 3 days is when a lot of like the critical analysis kind of comes in, like people talking about like, oh, this is bad for the environment, too much commercialism. Like, yeah. I don't like Barbie, you know, or, you know, like little things, you know, little things like that, the trolls. I think that's just kind of like the life cycle of these kind of tweets. But overall it was like, that's what I've kind of experienced it. And yeah, it was like maybe towards like a week after is when I got some people like, you know, trying to be really mean towards me specifically. I'm like,
yeah,
I'm just like calling all this out. Like I'm not perfect, because a lot of it, it's like it started out with like Barbie marketing and people are like, no, it's actually licensing and stuff like that. So I acknowledged it, but then, you know, people are like, you're still, you know, you're still dumb. And I'm like, okay, like I just kind of, you know, just kind of put stuff together.
Yeah, you can't win sometimes. And it's interesting you bring that up, because I'm sure you follow Dev Machette. I saw she had a viral tweet this week where she retweeted the Miranda Lambert thing where she called out her fans for taking a selfie. Mm-hmm. And, you know, there was a lot of conversation about that. But then it like She said it got to a point where all of a sudden it turned into body shaming of Miranda Lambert. And it like wasn't about the issue at hand anymore. Like it can get so ugly. Like virality reaches a certain point where suddenly it just brings out all those trolls and really mean people. So we hate to see that, but I love that it's opened some other positive doors for you and that you're here with me now. So.
Yeah, absolutely. And that's what kind of really got me excited about all of this.
Yeah. Well, we've got the Barbie movie coming out. I mean, this is all still leading up to the premiere. We're not even there yet, but it does come out this Friday, the 21st. And if you haven't heard, I'm sure you've been living under a rock because it stars Margot Robbie, Ryan Gosling. We've got America Ferrera, Simu Liu, Issa Rae, Kate McKinnon, directed by Greta Gerwig. It is just a star-studded cast. So again, going back to the meme generator, what do you think was notable about the meme generator and just kicking this off, like, again, activating their audience and social media? What made that so special?
I think it just really went well with the theme of the movies. Like, you know, there's a, like, everyone can be a Barbie, everyone can be a Ken. So it gave you like that little personal touch to kind of show off, like, this is the type of, you know, Barbie I am, this is the type of Ken I am, and like appeal to everyone. Because most like selfie generators have, you know, like they're just kind of use the asset here and there, but everything is like very in theme of what they're trying to, you know, bring the idea of like, this is like Barbie's world and we're just living in it.
Yeah, they've certainly accomplished that. And I think you're right. Like everyone was able to personalize it. Barbie and Ken, they've had all kinds of different careers and professions over the decades. And there's always something that we could relate to and to make it about the type of Barbie or Ken that we are. So love the personalization. You mentioned Airbnb and Xbox, but there's been over 100 different activations. I would love to know, what are some of your favorites? What are the highlights if people didn't see the thread?
Yeah, I mean, like I personally love the Xbox one. I think was just super cool for me. Like that's why it was like my very first tweet. There was like an Aldo shoebox that looked like a Barbie packaging, super smart. I really like the Barbie skates. The fact that they even brought that to life, the car is like in a gaming world and in a little toy. Even the fact that they got involved in not just like the merchandising space, but a lot of experiential being like these activations, like being part of like a DC Pride Parade, having these like skating ring pop-ups, the billboard that's super iconic. But the one that's like really kind of been in my head a lot has been the Architectural Digest one, just because for me it feels like so out of left field, but it makes so much sense to kind of go through the dream house of Barbie.
Yeah.
Right? Like that, it shouldn't work, but it did. And yeah, like even things like that, like everything has been so planned and like, and nothing has really stood out to people be like, oh, this doesn't really make sense for Barbie.
Yeah, it's they've found a way to be everywhere and to still have it seem on brand, which I think is so hard to do. But and I also love with Xbox, you know, how their branding and, you know, their console has been pretty masculine most of the time. And I was like, oh, look at that. The girlies, we get a Barbie console now. So yeah, it's all just felt like it fits them, and it's hard to be in all these different places and to make it, you know, not feel forced. But also Barbie is just, the colors are so loud and they're so ownable to that brand that they could make anything work and just, you know, easily identifiable as Barbie.
Yeah, and that's why like they've been so successful. Like that Xbox was such a big hit amongst everyone, not just like even the men, just like, all right, am I going to have to pull the trigger on an Xbox? I'm a PlayStation fanboy just because this looks that cool.
Yeah.
You know,
love to see it. That's really cool. So I read a quote from Mattel's COO. His name is Richard Dixon. And he said they, quote, want to get everyone playing with Barbie. And that doesn't necessarily mean playing with a doll. And when I read that, I said, okay, he wants everyone playing with Barbie. And it made me wonder, who is the audience for this movie? And is it realistic to get everyone playing with Barbie and involved in this brand?
I think like when he meant get everyone playing with Barbie, it's like playing with Barbie's world there. It's, I think it is realistic because it's just so iconic. And now they really stretch like what Barbie stands for, right? It's not just the doll. It's the universe that Barbie lives in. It's like this hyper pink color. It's fun. And there's like, there's more to life than, you know, like the memes, the food that the Barbie world would taste like. They've done really good job as they kind of describe it, building like that universe and making it very true to life. So I think they've really, not only they set that goal, they've actually met it.
Yeah. Well, I've got to ask now, are you the audience for this movie? Did you get tickets? Are you going to be there on Friday night?
Oh, Thursday evening. Like, for, yeah. I have to. I have to support it.
They should give you a press pass, honestly.
I wish. I wish.
All the promotion that you've done. That's awesome. Well, I was doing some research on Barbie. I mean, obviously, I mean, I'd consider it a legacy brand. Barbie kicked off in the 1950s. And I learned that Mattel was actually one of the first brands to market directly to children. And they did this with commercials in the 1960s. And this was at a time, you know, when everything was mostly via newspapers. And I was reading, it said, Mattel looked beyond this format and ventured into television. It soon became one of the first consistent national advertisers more than 60 years ago. So it seems impressive that they're doing all this, but they might have some of the most experience with advertising and paid media and just trying to be where the people are.
They're yeah. definitely like the licensing kings. And that's why like this is such a big, I wouldn't say anomaly, but like, you know, it's all in your faces because they've done just such a good job. They know who to play with and who not to.
Yeah. Yeah. It's been fun to watch. And I think Barbie just has such cultural significance. I mean, again, she's been around since 1959, and so many of us have memories growing up playing with Barbie, and just we're nostalgic for that and just using our imaginations and sparking that wonder in their audience. So, but you also touched on this, that Barbie is standing for things more than just playing with dolls. They have reinvented and kind of rebranded her multiple times. In 2016, they changed the proportions of her body. They've also introduced more skin tones, which we love to see. So could you speak to just Barbie's pop culture significance and how it may have played a role in this Barbie mania? Like, could any movie have done this and been as successful or had the same impact? Or is it something only Barbie could do?
There's definitely some things that only Barbie can do based on the nostalgia and like the recognition, right? There's like, it just has that very distinctive brand assets, such as the color, the font, and the world building that they've done over many years. Like, that's the equity they've built.
Yeah.
I think what is important to kind of take away from this is not to just look at like building off their iconic brand and leaning into it, is like, how much can you leverage your IP and make it as accessible to everyone and have fun with it? Like, I've been kind of talking to some marketers about this, getting a little more insight about how all of this happened. A lot of people mentioned like it's very similar to like 90s marketing, where it was all up in your face, like so many different licensing collaborations, like, even if, I don't know if you're familiar with like the Rick and Morty and Szechuan sauce, the kind of cultural moment that happened. But for those who don't know, there was a big thing in the TV show Rick and Morty where they were like talking about this Szechuan sauce that was only available at McDonald's for a limited time, became this really big pop culture thing, and finally came back and McDonald's acknowledged it. Huh. Like, if you kind of break it down, the Szechuan sauce was a promotion for the 90s animated movie Mulan. Like, that's what it was for, you know? So there was like kind of interesting tie-ins and stuff like that back in the day. Even if you think about it, the Jurassic Park ride at, you know, Universal is exactly that. It was a movie promotion. So it's not like, it's almost that playbook has been opened up again. Yeah. And Barbie's made it seem possible that we can just do this non-run-of-the-mill, like, programmatic performance marketing that you've seen before. There, someone summarized it pretty well, Michael Miraflor on Twitter. It's just he had a great tweet literally today that just talked about it's just great to create these cultural moments that are not just your standard pop-up or regular movie advertising that you see.
Yeah. And everything it's more calculated than we even realize. Again, Jurassic Park, I mean, we think it's just a ride and that's what it's there for, but there's so much that comes from that, you know, wanting to go home and watch the movie or buy the merch, like every little bit counts. So those are great examples. Thank you. And I didn't know about the Rick and Morty thing. That's really cool too. So Mattel has also, of course, said that they're trying to tap into nostalgia, and they actually have goals of rebranding Barbie for adults and being known for more than just toys. So that'll be interesting to watch to see how they continue to do that. But do you think they're successfully tapping into nostalgia? And in your point of view, what makes nostalgia so powerful? I love asking that question because everyone kind of has a different point of view on nostalgia. So if you could speak to that.
I think what makes nostalgia so powerful is just like you're able to not only just bring the memories up, but like validate the experiences that people have had and share, you know, like kind of make it a shared experience that people actively want to talk about, right? So it's like almost lends itself to being very social in itself, like, hey, I have this memory and I've been wanting to talk about it, or like maybe you and another person have something that you can share and reminisce about. So it's like almost it lends itself into a storytelling aspect, and that's why it works so well, you know, like kind of getting to like the psychology of it all, right? It's like a lot of the sentiment, for example, I saw in the tweeted people, like, as you mentioned, played with Barbie or kind of grew up with it and feeling almost validated by this marketing, seeing how it reaches people, or like even just like, oh, I remember seeing this so much. I've never played with it, but now it's becoming relevant to my interests as I'm getting older.
Yeah.
So it's nostalgia is not just about reaching that certain generation, but almost that sharing it across everyone you know, and that could reach old to young. Yeah. So it really plays both directions.
Yeah, and unlocking memories that people forgot they had. It's always fun to collaborate when someone brings up something you completely forgot about. And I think Barbie in particular, I mean, they have such deep history that it's not just one generation that is nostalgic for it. It's many generations. And I actually did a tweet. I asked people to share the Barbie that had the biggest impact on their childhood. And it was really beautiful to see, like, oh, I remember I got this ice skater Barbie and she was a gift from my grandmother. And she was the one Barbie I never took out of the box, or just like, you know, or this Barbie was the first Barbie that looked like me. One person said she got a Barbie that had brunette hair, which was, you know, even surprising back then. So everyone has their own story that they can connect it to. So I absolutely love that.
And you're seeing it in the marketing too for the movie when it came to like the press tour and press outlet. Like they leaned into the clothing that Margot Robbie was wearing, which has all been like nostalgic dresses from the old Barbie days. And like even people who are not familiar with Barbie took their time to make those comparisons, which is already playing into that nostalgia. Like I didn't know about, you know, like one of the dresses was the first, you know, Barbie doll, but that's just like showing you how deep rooted they played into that nostalgia, which is, you know, so subtle but impactful.
Yeah, it was that black dress, right, with like the tutu at the bottom almost.
Yeah, the black and white dress. There was like one with the hat, and I'm like, that's genius.
Yeah,
that is, even just down to that detail, like that's how calculated it's been.
Yeah, and it was a bit scary. Of an Easter egg too, though. You know, if you were from that generation and you remember it, like awesome, you recognize it immediately. But there was some eagle-eyed person that was like, "Hey, that's the same dress," and then they tweet it out into existence or share it with other people, and it makes you appreciate it more. So they have just been on it. It's incredible. So aside from the meme generator, I would say, I mean, yeah, it's clear that most of these other activations are huge paid campaigns. So what could any brand, just regardless of budget, because not everyone has a Barbie Mattel budget, what could they learn from this huge marketing blitz that Barbie is doing? And is it possible to build brand awareness organically, or is it always going to be pay to play?
I think there's definitely ways to do it organically, leaning into the conversations that people are having, like have a little fun or acknowledging a trend that's happening. Or like most recently, even if you look at how McDonald's handled the Grimace Shake trend, that's a great way to kind of talk about what's happening. Like even more recently, I've seen like Margot Robbie kind of acknowledge the Barbenheimer stuff. So like there's ways to lean into that. But I think the most important lesson to kind of take all of this is not only just being really strategic with the partnerships, but having fun with it. Like look at those avenues that are not necessary to talk about. Maybe it's a little more niche. Maybe it's a little bit like unconventional. And you'll find that if it makes sense, if it really like ties in well to what you're doing, the dividends out there, people will talk about it. People will share it. That's why I got really excited about doing this in the first place. Like, yeah, it started with two flashy things, but suddenly I got people from sharing me like Cold Stone stuff and Uno like card packs. And it's just really cool to see like all these different avenues. They're not huge. They're not splashy, right? Yeah. But they're there. And I was even surprised, like this glassware collaboration, which is not it wasn't even like directly with the movie. Mm-hmm. It's been out for a year. I thought it was like directly with the movie, but that ended up even just being one of the more successful ones because people are like, wait, I'm an adult. I like pink. This looks actually good. It doesn't have that Barbie branding on there, but it just, the fact that it's associated with it, I'm going to get it.
Yeah. It feels, you know, on theme. Yeah.
Yeah. It really feels on theme.
Yeah. And I've noticed a lot of small businesses still finding ways to get in on this. I was shopping for some clothes the other day and I saw on this boutique's homepage, one of their main banners was like all about Barbie and buying all of your pink clothes. And I've seen another jewelry maker that I follow called Olive and Arrow, and they made a whole line that with earrings that were in prints inspired by Barbie. So it's just fun just to even take the Barbie branding, and that color pink is just like so, you know, uniquely Barbie that you can just play off those visual elements and get in on the fun. So it's been really great to watch. So
it really has.
Yeah. Well, where can people get in touch with you? Where can they keep up with more of your threads as you continue the Barbie conversation? Tell us more about you and what we can expect from you next.
Yeah, you can follow me on Twitter and LinkedIn at Moshe Isaacian. I always love sharing my thoughts on what brands are doing, really bringing like smart cultural thinking to the forefront. Definitely trying to work with really smart people. So feel free to message me or get in touch. I'm all about continuing my career and bringing good work to life.
Yeah, awesome. I know you've worked on some great brands and you just have a really great perspective. And maybe we'll get a Hot Wheels movie next. I know Mattel is affiliated with Hot Wheels, so I will be on the lookout for an upcoming Hot Wheels thread if that ever happens. So
that's going to be interesting. I wonder if it's going to be 40 tweets long or actually short this time.
Just everything is on fire instead of
just fire themed.
Flames everywhere. Oh my gosh. Well, we can hope. Moshe, this was so fun. Thank you so much. And we'll have to circle back once the movie comes out and get your full thoughts and just kind of a 360 analysis of everything. I'm sure there's even more surprises we haven't heard about yet. So
yeah, it's definitely not over. You got all the marketing afterwards. Like, oof, it's going to be very interesting.
It's going to be fun. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Today's episode is brought to you by Vinyl. Vinyl reimagines how you discover new music. It's a vinyl record membership club that syncs with your Spotify, so you can get new, curated records sent straight to your door. Each month, you'll look forward to unboxing 3 new records to add to your collection. Finally, music lovers like you can learn about and remember new artists in a meaningful way. Head to vinyl.org to update your music profile and set the vibe for your first box. That's Vinyl, VNYL.org. If you're a fan of this podcast, be sure to subscribe, or better yet, leave a review.